Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, Leo and Christy Zagami for the Leo Zagami Show. And here we go, of course, with our dance macabre. Why not? Yes! Live from Palm Springs, California. Leo and Christy will be bringing you a lot of news today, and of course the focus of the day is on P. Diddy. Yes, well, everybody's talking about it, and as you know, I've published a book not so long ago, Confessions of an Illuminati, volume 8, about Hollywood, about the music business, about the great influence of Barack Hussein Obama, also in the entertainment world with friends like P. Diddy. But we have also, like I said, a lot more news coming up. Okay, so how was your week, Christy? We have a lot of sponsors today, or at least a few more than last week. They might have actually listened to our a request for more sponsors, because of course during the summer we have increased expenses.
Yes, Amore. Okay, here's the...
Well, like, this is special because of the air conditioning. We operate here from the desert, and there is huge bills that we have to pay every month when we do these shows. The bills increase because of all the energy we use. So we've just asked you to help us out a little bit with the expenses. And here are the names of today's sponsors.
Yay! Okay, so we have Lauren, which is one of my favorite names. DeHalmer, and Farshidan Torkman,
Okay.
And Bruce Kodish and Melgar Zadaminta. Thank you, everyone, for your donations, and thank you, everyone, who bought the book. We really appreciate it. We're really grateful to be here.
And we are, of course, broadcasting on X Live on YouTube for the first part of the show. If you want to follow us for the second part of the show live, you will have to subscribe to our Rumble channels, the Leo Zagami one, of course. We have also an additional one now, Telepandemia, il clone, they call it in Italy. But we have a couple of channels on Rumble, which of course is a platform where we can be a lot more open about certain topics. So here we go.
There's nobody here.
There is, of course, a few people here. About 50 people have tuned in, but you know, it depends. It depends from week to week. We tend to have more or less viewers. But remember, next week we will have the start of a brand new adventure, we can say. We were not going to talk much about
it. Why are you talking about it?
Yeah, because we would like at least to prepare our audience. Next week, guys, we will be launching my new book, Volume 10, Unprecedented Information for an Unprecedented Book. Christy, you have been editing it, and I noticed quite a change in you in the last few days. So it's going to be very interesting next week when we start presenting this book, which, of course, is dedicated to a very particular subject, Islamic Freemasonry and the secret societies that are basically been working behind the scenes for so long to generate this eternal conflict. Yeah,
my
so
eyes have been opened.
Yeah, well,
I've seen the light.
It's a very important book. There is no other author I know who has written a book of this kind. The subject, of course, is a very obscure subject for most people. as it involves Islam and the Middle East, and there is of course also my own direct experiences. So for that, next week, tune in, and there's going to be a great surprise for you. In the meantime, and the surprise might include even more than one episode a week, because we like it to, you know. if we have time, because there is already a lot of people starting to request interviews in regards to this groundbreaking book. But now let's focus on the topic of the day. In the meantime, I want to thank once again the sponsors, and also invite people to the ways they can support us, which they can do it through GoFundMe and through Cash App. I'm going to put GoFundMe here, just a second, on the screen. In the meantime, you see a lot of people are tuning in, so that's quite good. So we're getting more and more people tuned in. Remember, the second part of the show, guys, is on Rumble. And for those who have problems to tune into Rumble because it's blocked in their country of origin, in France they can tune in. On X, they can go on Twitter X. While instead, in places like Russia, then we upload it later on Telegram and then BitChute. So there is other options to make sure that everybody can follow also the second part of our show. Okay, now at this point, we go into the heart of Volume 8, because here we are talking about the biggest scandal of the week that erupted once CNN published this video that P. Diddy had tried to cover up.
Make disappear.
make it disappear. Doesn't sound very good.
That's why you say it.
Okay. Yes, but the violence exercised by P. Diddy, it's pretty astonishing. I mean, we are seeing here a guy who seems to have no limits. No limits. Let's see.
But first, give us some context on what we're about to see.
Yes, Jake, this is incredibly disturbing footage, so I do want to warn our viewers, as you did. But as you said, Cassie's lawsuit, which was filed in November of 2023 and then was quickly settled overnight, it did open the floodgates. But in that complaint, Jake, she details an incident that she alleged happened in March of 2016 at a hotel in Los Angeles. She claimed in her lawsuit that she was physically assaulted by Diddy. Now our team in the LA Bureau, we have got our hands on that surveillance footage, and it appears to corroborate Cassie's claims identically. Really, Jake, the lawsuit lines up with exactly what we are seeing. So let's take a look.
New surveillance footage obtained exclusively by CNN appears to corroborate some of the allegations of abuse against music mogul Sean Diddy Combs. The video, captured on multiple cameras, shows Combs wearing only a towel, assaulting his then-girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, in a hallway at a Los Angeles hotel in March 2016. A lawsuit filed by Ventura in November last year and settled the next day referenced actions that seemed to match those seen in this video. There is no audio. According to the complaint, Combs became extremely intoxicated and punched Miss Ventura in the face, giving her a black eye, which, according to the lawsuit, prompted Ventura to try and leave the hotel room. The surveillance video obtained by CNN begins as she enters the hallway. The complaint says,
so here she was basically running for her life. She didn't even have time to wear her shoes before she left. And of course, while she was trying to get her things together, she was reached by her boyfriend of many years, P. Diddy, formerly Puff Daddy, who beat her up, clearly. And there is also another scene later on in which he also throws things at her once she gets into the room with him. Now, it's important that we report on this specific episode, because it happened only 1 year before P. Diddy posted the following on Facebook. And this is very important because it also makes us understand that the girlfriend stayed with him for another few years, 3 years after that.
It's just like victim mentality, I think.
Absolutely. And here we have this post made on the 15th of September 2017, in which basically Barack Hussein Obama meets up with Didi, and he says, "This week was a great week. Shout out to the king, Barack Obama, black excellence." So let's talk about this black excellence, because the next clown to go down might be Jay-Z. This is what a lot of people are talking about. And of course, we had R. Kelly, who is already in jail. These people are despicable people. They have no manners, no class, and they are a shame to the black community at all. Which, of course, now we saw that Suge Knight, what was his name?
Suge Knight.
Yes, who is in jail already, who actually didn't want to interviewed by TMZ. He actually felt himself a sense of shame for the whole hip-hop culture, which is involved in this kind of thing. Now, P. Diddy, as you know, at the end of March, I think the 25th of March, they raided both of his mansions. This happened because he's involved in human trafficking. I mean,
I got involved in something bad.
Yes, and this is actually a topic that you discuss in one of your books.
Did.
Which
and
book
was,
is that?
It was volume one.
Volume one, we have it here.
I had a modeling job in Japan.
Yes,
and,
so let's talk about it, because this involves these people. And it was actually, well, I think we should say, this
well,
is
I mean,
the
I got out
if you
of
want
there,
to know more.
So, I mean, I didn't stay. Fortunately, I had like all the bells and whistles were going off, and you know, I almost got locked into this room in Japan.
No, first of all, I just met Christy. We had gone to Japan. I had to sign this book deal. And we spent some time in Tokyo. You went to Okinawa for a job that you were supposed to do
there. Yeah,
there
was this big rap. There was this big rap concert that was going on in Okinawa. And it was all of like the main rap stars from that time. And so it was like around 2009. So
yes,
you can imagine who those people were. And it was pretty much all the big rap names of that time. And my thing didn't have to do with them. It just had to do with the organizer, who was really like horrible to me.
But because you left before, of course, all the stars of this event, this organizer.
Well, I got worried for my life. And yes, I didn't, I mean, I was like, there's no way
you
I'm
fortunately
gonna stay here. They didn't give me any idea of what my job was. And so when I went there, I wasn't really sure. And they really kept, you know, they just
initially, they received you in a very formal way.
Yeah.
When you went a few months earlier to sign up the contract.
Yeah.
When instead, later on, the same person who, by the way, was in charge of a big event with Michael Jackson a few years prior to that, actually not so long before that, he invited you to this job, which seemed like a PR job to me. I mean, it was presented in that way. Though I sensed something was wrong. So I said to Christy, try to be careful.
You don't want me to go.
I didn't actually want her to go. But in any case, once you arrived there, you managed to get out of this building in which...
I pretty much had to escape
because you were locked in.
They didn't lock me in. He tried to lock me in after I had spent the whole night with him across. He stayed in my room and he wouldn't leave. And so I was just like so mad. I didn't.
You understood it wasn't any longer a professional.
No, I knew. I knew, and I almost got locked in there, but somehow. I got a little message from heaven not, you know, to do something to keep the door from locking. So I was able to not lock the door that lock. And so
because
then I was able to
leave
the room.
The door locked, you had actually bars on
the
window.
Yeah, there was bars on the window.
I mean, this was Okinawa, Japan. some of the biggest name in the hip hop industry were about to join.
But it doesn't have to do with them.
Well, but it had to do with them if you stayed there.
Because, well, I didn't. I left. I was the person that left and left before it happened. Yes.
So fortunately, she managed to leave. But going
there's
back,
there's no way. I
going
was
back
say,
to PDD,
not for any amount of money. Yes. I was promised a lot, you know, but I was like, there is no way I'm going to stay for this. I'm leaving. And I just ended up losing money. I gave him the money back for the plane ticket because, you know, he started threatening me when I got back to America. I left and he didn't know where I went. And some guy was trying to follow me, but then I was able to get away and I got back to Tokyo and then I had to leave from Tokyo and I made my way back to America on my
own.
Think
you think you were followed once you left the place and you were going to the airport in Okinawa? There was somebody.
I don't know if I was followed, but I mean, there was a guy outside
stationed there.
As soon as he saw me, he grabbed his phone and was talking on it and I just took off and I started running.
Well,
and I had all these bags because I was supposed to stay for 10 days and so I had all these bags and it was hot and sweaty because it was June and it was hot and sweaty. But I got away.
Monsoon kind of season.
I got away.
If you want to know more about it, there is.
But I paid him back for the ticket too.
Well, that was
I lost money. I know, but I didn't want to have any obligation to that mofo, so I gave him back his money. And I said, you know, I didn't do the job that I was contracted to do, and I kind of made it over to Japan. So I just gave him back.
Because
money,
for those who don't know, Okinawa is an island off the coast of Japan. So. Basically,
he's a motherfucker. I hope that that tsunami that came after was his karma, and I hope it sucked him into the water. So there you go.
In any case,
his business went down after that. I heard. So.
I think that it's good that you managed to get out of it. In Volume 8 of My Confessions, instead, I talk about the very close relationship that. Jay-Z has with Obama also. No, here we are talking about a guy, I repeat, P. Diddy is not just a musician, a rapper. He is somebody who is very close to the person who, as you know, at the moment is in charge in America, because Barack Hussein Obama is the guy behind Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So, I mean, here, why a few months after the Casey accident, why does he go to see Obama? He goes to see Obama because, in a way, he knew he had once again fucked up. Sorry if I say this word, but that's how it is. And he wanted to show that, you know, he is still mingling with the rich and famous, with Barack Obama. Barack Obama, who has never said anything about also Diddy's prior problems with the law, which also included that strange affair that happened in front of New York nightclub with J-Lo. Here, this is actually the video which
she's
shows.
She's so pretty.
Yes.
Gosh, she's just so pretty.
And treated in that way is absolutely.
Nobody should be treated like that. No,
it's insane. But if you read actually this book, and I know that Christy read it because she edited it, Jay-Z talks about you know, Obama being in a very powerful cabal of people, like, you know, devil worshippers kind of. He even admits it, not so veiledly, but he actually does. And one at this point. Is wondering what is happening now that Diddy is down, because this is, of course, the downfall of Diddy. But is the same thing going to happen to Jay-Z? Because apparently Jay-Z has a lot of skeletons in the closet that could be used against him. So here we have, of course, though, Jay-Z, a guy who has been associated with a lot of criminal activity in his youth, later on went on, like Diddy, to become a big hip-hop producer. And then these people become bigger than life. Yeah. They start to behave in ways that are completely out of order. Now, a lot of people, when at the end of March they saw the police arriving in those mansions, no, they said, oh, well, why didn't they do the same for Harvey Weinstein or for Jeffrey Epstein? Well, Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein, to my knowledge, never beat up anybody. They could have been criminals. They could have, of course, indulged in activities that were completely despicable, like human trafficking, because that's what...
Abuse is abuse, though, I mean.
But...
sexual.
Abuse in the way that P. Diddy seems to be... Blatant abuse seems to be.
Like you can see.
You can see that it's really so. I think that the problem now is for the whole hip hop community to actually stay credible after the downfall of Diddy. And I think that if Jay-Z follows up in another downfall, well, that could be the end of the whole hip-hop scene.
And nobody's, all of his friends...
Or at least not the end, because everybody will always appreciate certain kind of music, but the end of the closeness between hip-hop and the White House, you know, the formal world of power.
Well, P. Diddy has a lot of... videotapes on politicians and stuff.
That's the thing. Just like... Epstein and just that though the will we see Diddy ending up like Epstein, because we know what happened to Epstein.
I don't know if he would do that. Oh, you mean it would just happen like that? Happen.
I mean, we know that there is a dark room in which P. Diddy had his guest pleased in all kinds of ways. That was known as the dark room.
What is wrong with people?
And so we know that
everybody's so corrupt.
Jay-Z loves Aleister Crowley. Do what the will should be the whole
That's
of the law. Read this book to understand more about the connection between the music and entertainment business with the ideas and the philosophy of Aleister Crowley. Do what thou wilt. But basically, what is happening here is people that have done what they wanted too much. Do what thou wilt. But, of course, then there is the problem that comes up. I mean, if you do what you want, then you end up in trouble. So, now, we know that Jay-Z is probably... a Freemason and has a lot more contacts of a certain kind. Diddy, though, also had contacts. So it depends from, I think that now we know that the role of Barack Hussein Obama might be a very important role in the sense that I think, and this is pretty sure, I mean, like it happened with other people, I mean, before they went there at the end of March and broke into his mansions, probably Obama knew. But also what astonishes me, though, is Barack Obama receiving him after this episode, this cruel episode that we just witnessed with Casey. Because how can a guy like Barack Obama don't know what P. Diddy is doing?
He's a guy. They were lovers?
Okay, first of all, we know that P. Diddy also has always been behind the scene discussed the fact that he's bisexual. Okay, so he kind of swings both ways. And we know the same regarding Barack Obama. We know that both of them know each other since the time Barack Obama was a senator in Chicago. He interviewed them already back then when Diddy used to work for MTV. So this show of force that manifests the downfall of Diddy, is it connected also, because here, you see, this, of course, came out when he said sickening allegations have been made against me, individual looking for a quick whatever. But now those sickening allegations are actually obvious when you see this video. You
can't, well, he can't deny it now. That's him doing the act, so we can't deny it anymore.
We know that there is blackmail involved. We know there's blackmail involved. Who is protecting these people? We know that Barack Obama, of course, is involved. So we know that behind the scenes, Barack Obama must have said, okay, you can go. I don't think Diddy has anything on me anymore. Either he managed to get the tapes erased, the material completely.
Oh, so then you could, oh, so he was worried about his own, like,
yes,
ass being covered?
Absolutely. Oh, this is what happened with Obama's involvement. Obama wanted to have his ass covered before the feds and everybody else went in and broke into the mansions of all these authorities, broke into the mansions with the heavy accusation of human trafficking, but also the arrest of a young guy who used to be basically his dealer, who used to, he was a 25-year-old guy who was actually arrested on that day, who with marijuana and cocaine. Now, marijuana is legal in California, but it's not legal in Florida. And, of course, the cocaine is illegal all over the United States. So this guy was basically his pusher. He used to hang around there all the time. And he was immediately arrested. He was immediately taken away. But with Casey is this singer who was with P. Diddy for many years. And with what we have seen, this is only, I mean, probably the peak of an iceberg that goes down, and that probably has many other layers of involvement, of scandals. Oh, and like we said, he was into recording just like Epstein. Did those recordings actually help Epstein get out of trouble? They might help Ghislaine Maxwell get out of trouble. They might. But, of course, we know what happened to Jeffrey Epstein. So here we are in front of a situation that, of course, exposes black culture today for what it is. And I have talked about it in my book very clearly. I mean, we are promoting through this... And I'm a former DJ and record producer, guys. I'm no saint.
Never did anything like that.
No, but I saw these people operating, and I saw.
Why you say you're not no saint?
No, you never did anything like that. Of course, I never did things like that. But I'm not saying that I'm, you know, some kind of Puritan that comes from. My background was into the music business, so it was in the music business. So I know what these people were up to already many, many years ago. I remember. I mean, when it comes down to Usher and the other guy.
Usher?
And then the other guy who was there.
Bieber?
Yeah. These two were basically...
Justin Bieber
and Usher.
Usher.
Were actually almost given, offered on a silver plate to P. Diddy back then. And
what do you mean?
I mean, now, I don't want to say who, because, of course, it's information, very delicate information. But let's say this.
Oh, you know something?
I know something because you remember when I was in Rome with those actors from Hollywood, from a famous film director, came to visit me and I brought them to the Vatican.
I remember that.
Okay. Without going into details of who these people were, because they were really scared when they were giving me this information, we were actually going to the Vatican, I remember that day, we were actually in a taxi, and one of them is a famous actor, the other guy is a famous stuntman, and they basically admitted that Bieber had to do those things.
Oh man, poor little guy.
And so this is what's happening in Hollywood.
That's why he has all those problems.
Now, of course, he has a lot of problems. That's why I invite everybody to get volume 8 of my confessions, because it's important to understand the background, the cultural, ideological, philosophical even background of Hollywood, which is in the hands of the Sabbatean Frankist mafia, but has been like that for 100 years. I mean, Charlie Chaplin, who everybody applauds, like,
I always,
you
see,
know,
quotes about him on Facebook.
Yeah, oh no, the dictator, you know, the film when he portrays Adolf Hitler. Charlie Chaplin was a pedophile, was going with children. Charlie Chaplin was a pedophile. And this is already, you know, shows you how Hollywood has always been like that.
Yes.
From the very from the very early stages.
Maryland
some
had
people
it really
say,
bad.
Where are, you know, in this book, lately, there has been a lot of talk about what happened in Nickelodeon. All of this is already in my book. Mm-hmm. What happened to Leonardo DiCaprio, for example? Leonardo DiCaprio has a past as basically a young male prostitute. That's what happened with Leonardo DiCaprio. It's sad that people have to make compromises to reach fame.
I have friends that I modeled with that are famous now, you know, they decided to just go that route. And, you know, if you go that route and you say yes, and, you know,
well, they became very famous.
They became very famous.
And they are now in Hollywood and acting in many important movies. We don't say who they are, but that's how it works. So
I didn't want to play in that horrible game.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You sell your soul. I like my soul just the way it is.
And they offered you money. They offered you fame.
It doesn't
they
matter. You everything. But, it doesn't you know, matter. Money doesn't matter. So.
Money is not so important when you have to sell your soul, your ethics, and your morality to the devil, to Satan. Because that's really, I mean, in Christian, Judeo-Christian terms,
so.
That's what we're talking about.
I mean, so some of those girls made bad choices also, you know. They made bad choices and, you know, they didn't listen to their inner voice that I had. And, you know, I ran
some
out.
Of them became very famous. And
but,
very,
you know, yeah, they become famous, but for what? And they don't, and none of them seem happy right now. So. I mean, it's just not worth it. It's not.
Absolutely.
Let's go do something else.
Now,
My
book, as you know, this book is dedicated to my grandmother, Felicity Mason, who was an acting coach, very famous acting coach. She actually learned acting with people like Hugh Briner and Rock Hudson, who stayed friends of hers all their life. I actually met Rock Hudson when I was young, and many other Hollywood people with my grandmother,
that's
Felicity
true.
Mason, in coming. But she explained me how it worked.
What did she say?
She was very nonchalant about it, but basically I understood that there was a lot of compromise.
She wanted you to be an actor.
She wanted me to be an actor, and probably with her connections, I will not have compromised myself so much as these people. But having said that, it was always a world of compromise that I saw with my own eyes in front of me. So, we are carrying on now. We have a lot of people who are following us at the moment on X. Yeah. I want to say to the people who are following us on YouTube, we have around, not many, but around 50 people at the moment who are following us on our main English-speaking channel on YouTube. Well, if you want to follow us for the second part of the show, pass on to X at Ordo Illuminatorum Universalis. This is the handle. Or Rumble, Leo Zagami official channel. On Rumble. Yes, somebody is bringing up here Ellen DeGeneres. Now, Ellen DeGeneres is a real degenerate. And in fact, when she interviewed Diddy, a couple of things came up about his after parties and about his, you know, what he was doing behind it. Now, we know what happened to Ellen DeGeneres. At the end, she had to cancel her show because even she was involved in abuse of her own co-workers and staff. And in the end, she had to give up on her public illusion, because it was an illusion, the image we had of Ellen DeGeneres. That's, like, it's the illusion we have of many other people.
She
used to be funny. But these people, I repeat, they have made way too many compromises. So here we are. now with Obama, who is probably very worried, but at the same time has taken precautions, I'm sure, to avoid any further scandals connected to Didi. That's for sure. I think that if they went in on the 25th of March, they went in because Barack Obama said, you can go in. There is nothing any more inside that place that is connected to me.
Is Beyonce ever with P. Diddy?
We are still also discussing Jeffrey Epstein, who all these people went into this island, including Bill Clinton, and nothing really happened to them. They were not even called to testify or anything. So here you see the power of Democrat presidents in particular, who are connected to perversions, because we have Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, but also neocons like George W. Bush, because George W. Bush, guys, is and all those perverts at the Bohemian Grove, they are up to no good, of course, and of course with their friends, people like Bono from U2 and many other singers, entertainment.
Neocons
are the worst, but we will be discussing probably next week more about the neocons, because there is, of course, a part of my book that is dedicated also to 9/11. And how was that, reading that kind of lift the veil of illusion?
That was really hard for me to read. Okay. Very hard. I was one of the fools. I'm not a fool anymore.
Absolutely.
The blindfold has been lifted from my eyes, and I can see now. And it's all clear, and they're all motherfuckers, all of them.
Now, this is a world of compromises. You have people like Richard Branson, who used to sell 50 kilos of grass a week to finance Virgin Records and then employ people like Genesis, Culture Club, and all the artists that made his fortune, that now is in, he has ships, he has planes, he has everything. But Richard Branson is also connected to Barack Obama. Very much connected, these two, connected also to all this network of people that are always the same, no? It's always a bunch of perverts that seem to be always
the same perverts.
Now, we are here focusing
Hillary pervert too.
No, but that's what I was about to say, no?
Oh, really?
We are focusing every day on a little thing compared to all this, which is basically Stormy Daniels, a very, very minuscule thing amongst adults, consenting adults, if it ever happened, while instead we have here a bunch of perverts, and in Didi's case we have minors, and probably we have minors with all these people. So here we have people like Didi who are...
You're being the devil's advocate.
No, but it's very important to understand how this world works. Now, big drug dealers became big record producers and big record label owners. Now, I'm telling you this because I used to be a record label owner in London. I saw with my own eyes people who had mega offices, and I was like, how can they afford this and bring out all this rubbish? And nobody... But of course, it was recycling money. Now, I remember with my friend Mut discussed.
Oh,
yes, Mut is a very dear Turkish friend of mine who
he's so nice.
Yes, very who had a great. I mean, we produced also a couple of records together. And I remember discussing with him certain record labels because he said, oh, well, here there is this Turkish drug dealer and a weapons dealer got this record label. And then he showed me the record label. And it was, now, without mentioning, some of the biggest record labels who produced disco music in the 70s were in the hands of these people. Yeah. So you see...
Were any of the Gibbs? No.
But what I'm going to say here is that when you study Volume 8, you understand that, for example, then the record label You know, the record label had all these various producers that were working for them. And what happens is that you keep the record producers working for you happy. And how you keep them happy? You keep them happy with women and drugs. So they become addicted. And then at that point, they will tend to sell all the rights away.
Yeah.
At one point or the other. So that's why there is this connection, which now, of course, things have changed. We are in a different world. The things are monitored much closer. But when it comes down to recycling money from the drug world and from the weapon world, but mostly the music business was an ideal place. The nightclubs were an ideal place. You could recycle so much money thanks to this, you know, the money. I remember, guys, and I remember with my own eyes seeing people bringing $100K for a party to then get back 50. They will tell you, they will bring the suitcase, put it on the table, say, okay, give me clean 50 at least. And that's okay. You can keep the rest. So that means that it was all about recycling money. So that's why we had some great clubs in the 70s and 80s. But of course, then they all went. They all, once the whole, no, what was behind these clubs?
I don't know.
Including Studio 54, including Limelight in New York.
Oh,
and
yeah,
many
Limelight.
Others.
I know that place.
So.
Palladium?
I worked many years in the club business, not only in Italy. I'm half English, so both in London and in Italy. So my experience was in both worlds. And London is the capital. At the time, was considered the worldwide capital of music, you know, with all these big record labels. And, of course, that's why you had a lot of these people meeting up, for example, in this very exclusive elite private VIP clubs that were maybe behind an official club. You will have, like, for example, I make an example here. The Ministry of Sound was a very famous house club in London. But behind the Ministry of Sound, there was the Ministry of Sound VIP lounge only for the people of a certain kind, the record producers and stuff, and anything went on there. I mean, it was just complete debauchery.
What do you mean?
Well, everything went on there.
Were you there?
Well, of course I was there.
What did you do?
Well, I mean, I...
Did you do debauchery?
I was contained. I was pretty contained. Adelia, I was pretty contained.
He's kind of boring.
I was pretty contained. But I tell you guys, without, you know, mentioning...
He looks sinister, but he's really just like...
No, but I was contained up to a certain extent. I mean,
whatever.
In the sense that I hadn't been so contained in my youth. So when I remember once there was a group, famous British group, Soum in the backstage there, and they were like shocked. They were like, "This is Leo from Rome," you know, all the parties. And I was like, I was already over all that kind of partying excess, you know? But they were like all over the place. I'm not going to tell
you. Were you legendary in Rome for being a party man?
Well, of course, at that time. But I'm talking about people like Prodigy and many others. I mean, they were not no saints or no. But in any case.
You left that world behind.
I think that today we understood that you will know them by their fruits. And both P. Diddy and Obama, I mean, they are the product of pure evil. Now, one thing is having fun, one thing is entertainment, and one thing is actually
abusing people
and things that are really...
Because,
guys, I mean, yes, I've been involved.
How people can be like that.
When I was young, involved in a party mentality, I was a DJ, a record producer, so, but... One thing is doing, you know, everything according of your own free will and all the people around you, no? But one thing is starting with human trafficking and forcing people into almost a condition of slavery, of dependence, because you have the money to just pay off these people and keep them like sex slaves in the home or stuff like that, even minors. I mean, I really...
And it's happening all over the place now because a lot of people are being trafficked. Children are being trafficked. Women are being trafficked, and even men, teenage boys. I mean, all kinds of people are being trafficked. So, it's just happening so bad right now. And, you know, they're trafficking these children that are coming in on the border. So, I mean, they're taking these kids. So, I mean, nothing good out of it, nothing.
Now, we are about to start the second part of the show. We have a lot of news for the second part of the show, starting from the paranormal. Yes, the paranormal, the press conference that was held yesterday in the Vatican regarding the new guidelines on the paranormal. We will start with that. I'm gonna, of course, invite all of you who are following us on YouTube to go on Rumble, Leo Zagami. Just put Leo Zagami, you're gonna find us there. We are doing this because censorship has increased enormously on YouTube. So we would like to be a little bit more open. So for those people who are still tuned in on YouTube, please move on to Rumble or to X at Ordo Illuminatorum Universalis, where I see there is a lot of people at the moment. And we will move forward for the second part of the show. And thank you again to the sponsors who made possible this show. Christy?
Bruce Kodish and Lauren DeHalmer and Farshidan Turkman and Malgar Zadaminta. Thank you very much.
Somebody was asking me a link. There is links, of course, at the in the description of the video. Let me see if I can post a link here that can make it even more clear. Guys, more clear than this you can't get. I'm going to put the link for all your YouTubers.
Just click on it.
Click on it. Go on rumble.com/user/Leo Zagami and see you soon for the second part of the show. There's going to be also some dancing, more dancing.
Dance.
We have, of course, the wonderful tune by our friend Vincenzo Viceversa, who has also prepared the most amazing book cover for
Volume 10. You haven't shown anybody, huh?
No. You're going to see it next week. Not yet. Not yet, folks. Not yet.
In that time, our world has taken so many steps in the wrong direction. Negative utopia, science, technology, social organization, dehumanization, in the negative utopia, science, technology, social organization.
original track made for us by Vincenzo Viceversa, Medio Ball. Yes, Vincenzo Viceversa, man of many talents, is a great graphic designer, but also a great maker of excellent tunes. And also we have the video, no? The video made by our friend Albert Dele Pandemia. Somebody was asking if it was Aldous Huxley, and yes, Aldous Huxley. We have a lot of interesting references in this tune, because Viceversa is he's a visionary. I think he was an ambiguous figure because of his family and everything. Aldous Huxley was, in fact, responsible for MK Ultra later on in life. So he wasn't so innocent. He went from the Tavistock Institute to MK Ultra. He was, of course, working in what he might have believed was the right thing to do, but it wasn't the right thing to do for all the people who were manipulated by what he was, of course, doing. And then we have references clearly connected to George Orwell, another of these important figures, A.G. Wells, George Orwell, Aldous Huxley. I think they all created a milieu of intellectuals that probably thought of themselves as visionaries, as people who could give something to this society, but at the same time, of course, they were used themselves. No, even Carl Gustav Jung was apparently used for certain aspects of MK Ultra. Okay, even if, of course, in the very early stages, because he died when MK Ultra was still in development. But here we are now discussing, for example, all these abuses, all these crazy things that happen in our society, also because these things have been promoted by movies, by videos, by certain musical styles that incentivate the violence, incentivate, you know, like all the hip-hop culture. It has made it cool for people,
I can see where you're coming from.
It's promoting,
but it's not only that, it's everything is promoting that. I mean, when my kids were little, they were playing really violent games, you know, on the video games. I didn't know they were playing those things. It didn't mess them up completely. It didn't mess them up at all. But I mean, the kids are just, I mean, there's so much violence introduced with movies and with everything.
With video music games, like
and
you
video
said.
Games. Yes, so, yes, I mean, we're just surrounded by it.
But some people are, have a responsible view of these things. Other people get kind of involved with that whole thing to an extent of maybe going out and then doing a massive shootout of people. And all these people we have seen in the last few years involved in mass shootings, they were all listening to certain kinds of music, watching certain kinds of films. And this is one of the elements that I reiterate, but I also explain in detail in volume 8 of my Confessions. Somebody said Wells seemed to want a NWO. Well, it was H.G. Wells who invented the New World Order. So, I mean, he definitely wanted something. But you see, these people, and I remember we had an OTO lodge in that area where all these people used to meet. It's a specific area of London. I can understand that they were all a bunch of very self-indulgent aristocrats, or at least from well-established families that they were meeting up, exchanging ideas, thinking they could change the world. in some of their ideas, maybe some of these ideas were then instrumentally taken and manipulated by the governments who then used them, I'm sure. Because at the end, an intellectual is an intellectual. He hangs out maybe in an intellectual context saying these things purely like they are theory, not practice. Then, you know, you have the guy who listens, oh, this is a good idea. Let's put in practice, you know. Let's put mass surveillance in practice. Let's put everything that 1984 warned us about in practice, and that's what's happening today. Now, welcome to the Leo Zagami Show with Leo and Chrissy Zagami. We want to say hello to all our friends on X. Please share on X, because X is made out of sharing, you know. So please share. And then, of course, we have a lot of people also tuned in to Rumble. So I think that most of the people we had on YouTube have moved to these platforms now. This week, everybody talked about the unveiling of this portrait of King Charles. That's another...
Yes, people are here.
Here we have a king... King that, of course, is sending a very disturbing message with a portrait that, aside from his face, then you have the Monarch butterfly. Project Monarch was part of MK Ultra, so by the way. Like I explained in Volume 8 of my Confessions, the British monarchy has a leading role for all these people. It's like, we can say that here in America now, the entertainment world views the royal family of America, the Obamas. They are basically the hip hop royal family. Hip hop.
Are you talking about Meghan and?
No, Michelle.
And
but then you have, of course, the royals, the Nigerian scam royals. Why I'm calling them Nigerian scam? Because this week there was a lot of talk about this later visit that was just played out a few days ago in Nigeria by Meghan and Prince Harry, who don't have any official role any longer in the royal family, but were received in Nigeria.
What a couple of scammers.
So now Meghan is known as the Nigerian princess or something. She's a Nigerian scammer, basically. I always warned against Meghan, but that's how it is. However, behind Prince Harry and Meghan, you have Oprah Winfrey directly to Obama, and the whole thing directly to that. Now, I'm not going to say too much, but next week with Volume 10, we're going to discuss some important topics that connect also to Islam and the Black community in America. But I'm not going to say more. We're going to leave it to when Volume 10 comes out. And there is much more than that in Volume 10 of my confession. So be ready, because for the first time, you will have a direct insight in the Islamic world and its secret society, in Islamic Freemasonry, and how it interconnects with the Illuminati, the Western Freemasons, and everything else. So prepare yourself for a truly shocking book that is coming out in the next few days, Volume 10 of my Confessions.
Your jaw is going to go, nope.
Christy is the only one who has read this book at the moment. So she's
no
privileged.
Privilege.
She's very privileged. The book is entitled Islamic Freemasonry and the Secret Societies Behind the Eternal Conflict in the Middle East. And so, get ready. Okay, now...
We're ready.
And, of course, when it comes to Prince Charles, now King Charles III, he also has a very strong link with Islam that we might need to clear up, because a lot of people... have made the connections with this portrait and Baphomet, no? Because apparently when you view this portrait by putting together the two edges of the portrait, you end up with an image which is clearly demonic. But then you can also end up with this kind, an even worse image if you put it upside. There's all kinds of ways you can view this portrait of King Charles. I I was actually recently called by David Icke's iconic channel to discuss this topic. And I said, sorry, guys, for the moment, I don't want to say anything because I would like to discuss Baphomet once the book is out. Because Baphomet is a topic that is directly connected with Islam, which you will discover with evidence, not theories. Evidence.
Why are you talking about your book? Because you said you weren't going to do that.
I'm not going to talk about the book. I'm just telling you why I didn't accept the offer from David Icke's channel this week.
We'll be back.
But I will probably go on the channel later. So we discussed, of course, everything that's to do with Obama and Didi and all that. But now, of course, let's have a laugh, because it's important sometimes to have a laugh, no? Mm. The Vatican. The last week, all these people were calling me and also calling me for their shows. And I, once again, I had to refuse there too, because I said, sorry, guys, I'm not taking any interviews until my new book is out. And you will understand why when it's out. But in any case, the Vatican yesterday has made a conference, and everybody was talking about what the Vatican would say about the UFOs, the paranormal this, the paranormal that. And of course, it was a way for the Vatican to finally block this proliferation of charlatans who saying they're seeing the Holy Mary here, the Holy Mary there, and all this.
Is that happening now?
It's still happening. I mean, it's happening. There was a case in Trevignano Romano recently near Rome that made the headlines and that also put the Vatican into some kind of difficulty. So that is the reason why they did this conference, not for the UFOs. I'm going to show you that, because there were all these old guys. When you want to discuss the Vatican, and I'm talking to all you people out there in the alternative media, and you have a specific subject you want to discuss, just call Leo Zagami, and I'm going to tell you if it's worth discussing it, okay? Because if I'm not discussing it, there is a reason. And yesterday, after seeing it today, I actually broadcast the whole conference and commented it on my Italian show. But I'm going to just show you a brief extract of this address by the head of the Congregation for the Matters of Faith, Cardinal Fernandez. Let's see what he says. And this is, of course, a brief extract with subtitles, so not to make it boring also for all of you who are watching me.
Anche da parte del Santo Padre, quindi darei la parola ai giornali.
Credo che alcuni vescovi.
Now I'm gonna take out the I can't make it. If I make it smaller like this, you can see it, you can read it, because if I do like this, it goes over my finger, and maybe you can see the whole translation. If I go like this, maybe you can see the whole translation, but you can see. Okay, let's see how we can do this. It happens that some bishops are very involved, even passionate about a phenomenon.
Sono molto coinvolti, anche appassionati, no? Per un fenomeno, e vogliono dichiarare.
They want to declare it that it is supernatural, that it comes from God, that everyone wants to and must believe, no? So what he's saying here is, because at the end of this, the guidelines on the paranormal in the Vatican have not been changed since Paul VI, so since the 70s. They always had the same guidelines, which ultimately give the bishops the possibility of declaring what is supernatural or not. With this new maneuver, now the only one in the whole world, and this is quite shocking, who can declare something is supernatural for the Catholic Church is the Pope.
Oh, that fool!
No, but that's
how it is. Soprannaturale, che viene da Dio, che tutti vogliono, devono crederci, no? Altri invece sono arrabbiati.
Others get angry and want to declare that it goes not from God at all.
E vogliono dichiarare che non viene da Dio assolutamente.
So basically the conference was mainly about the fact that the Pope wanted to erase this possibility given to the bishop, because certain bishops had declared some very dubious apparitions, like for example the Medjugorje one. You remember the whole thing about Medjugorje? Yeah. That is, it's painful for some Catholics, but the
Medjugorje, thorn in the side.
Yeah,
oh,
because okay. One of the visionaries that that basically one of the kids, you know, they're always kids, and then grow up, of course. And basically, she was taking LSD, and so
the kid was.
Well, this she wasn't that young. The other, there were kids, and then there was an older girl and who was already kind of grown up. She was taking LSD.
Well, that'll make and you she, see a Holy Mary.
Holy Mary. But actually, I saw the whole conference, and I must say that they had a sense of humor about all these things. They said that this was claiming that, and it was hilarious because she came and said that she was the Holy Mary, and then she wanted to give birth to the Messiah, and then all kinds of bullshit that. But it's important, guys, to understand what went on yesterday, because there was a bunch of disinformation on the alternative media about this paranormal conference that took place yesterday in the Vatican.
Questa dichiarazione, come vedete, di soprannaturalità è complessa.
Now, this declaration, which is basically these guidelines that they have brought together with the presentation, because they didn't want to simply, you know, publish the presentation of the guy, this the guidelines without the presentation. They wanted to describe and talk about the guidelines. So, but this is what you're seeing is a controversial guy in itself. Cardinal Fernandez is an Argentinian, was nominated by Pope Francis, so he's a very dear friend of Francis, and he's a very progressive guy also. So let's see.
E ci porta anche tanti problemi. La più importante sarebbe una dichiarazione di Nicky Lobstadt, che indica, come diceva Benedetto XVI, indica che non c'è nulla di contrario alla fede e alla morale e che è possibile aderire a...
Now, this is a little bit problematic here, in the sense that from now on the paranormal becomes a private matter, and that all the revelation has already been given.
It's not through... really fair.
It's but this is the way they are putting it together. And so he's trying to explain also that sorry guys, we had a moment of the line went down for a second, so let me pick up again where we were regarding this conference about the paranormal. There was a lot of talk about also the UFOs regarding this conference. In reality, the UFOs were only mentioned briefly, with the guy laughing, saying, "I don't know anything about you. We don't know anything about UFO," which is a lie. Because, you know, in my books, I showed how the Vatican, Consul Magno, who is the Jesuit in charge of the Vatican Observatory, all these people are obsessed with UFOs. They even talked,
I know, you said
even,
that.
Even the Pope talked that. About baptizing, they even talked about...
About the aliens, remember? Yeah. They were going to baptize the aliens.
So let me show all the people who are watching us, who claim the Vatican was talking about UFOs in this paranormal event yesterday. Well, guys... You need to get your facts straight, because otherwise, and if you want to get your facts straight regarding the Vatican, just call Leo Zagami, and Leo Zagami is going to tell you what's happening. Now,
they can't call you anymore.
Okay, there were various people participating to this paranormal conference, including a nun, which I found quite funny in some of it. And like I said, it went on for like over an hour and a half, so it wasn't just... a small thing, but let me tell you the moment in which let me show you the moment in which they actually discuss the UFO phenomenon, and he basically says, well let me tell you. After he talks, I will give a brief translation.
Non siamo specialisti, veramente non possiamo intervenire, no?
So we are not specialists, we can't intervene.
Potrebbe accadere che
so here, basta... like I said, he was talking here about the UFO, but he says we are no specialists and we don't know.
Che agiscono soprannaturalità e che non sono necessarie per dare ai fedeli.
Okay, so here we're talking about, of course, the, how the, the paranormal should be approached by the faithful.
Su UFO non siamo specialisti veramente.
Sì, su UFO we are not specialized.
Non siamo.
Now, how is possible to say a big lie like this one? I mean, we all know that the Vatican has even an observatory. Lucifer observatory next to it, and the whole thing in Mount Graham, where we actually, when we did that special with Timothy Alberino, they after went with a secret camera inside the and they made that the documentary, no,
yeah, yeah.
Which is the Unholy something, yeah. Is called. Yeah. But basically, with the secret camera, they recorded the Jesuits in the observatory say, oh, sometimes we have to close down the official because we have all these UFOs appearing. And it was actually said by them and recorded. I mean,
Timothy Alberino recorded it. Was that the time he came back and
There was, I remember there was Stephen Quayle involved, there was Timothy Alberino, and then they attempted to kill Timothy Alberino later on.
Yeah, I know.
So definitely that was interesting. But this was the moment in which they were talking about UFOs.
Non possiamo intervenire, no?
We can't intervene, he says.
Potrebbe accadere che...
It could happen, he says.
Un certo fenomeno di questo tipo si è collegato a un
certain phenomena of this kind could be connected to the religious realm. This is what he says.
Fenomeno religioso cristiano, no? Cattolico.
Says, and he smiles and he says, oh, if it's, you know, it could happen that it's connected to, because there has been a lot of talks about Marian apparitions in connection with UFO. I talked about it also in my books. Mm-hmm. So this is very interesting.
In quel caso si vedrà.
We will see, he said.
Ma altrimenti no.
Otherwise, we will not touch the UFO subject. Yeah. So this was
He's
basic.
Full of blowing.
Yeah, but also. I mean, this was a week in which you went on the newspapers and there was a lot of talk about it, but there was no talk about it in the Italian media. I was the only one today who discussed it. They didn't even publish it in Italian in the Vatican News section. They
Why?
Published in Italian only in the final guidelines.
What are they hiding?
I don't know, but the interesting thing is...
UFOs. They probably have an alien in the Vatican underneath.
We go back to what I wrote in volume 9 regarding David Grusch, because these are subjects which I discussed in volume 9. Now, what the Vatican knows about aliens and why UFOs won't go away for Pope. Now, the Vatican has long been thought to be hiding something, and here there was in this article talk about the 1933 cover-up. Now, in volume 9 of my confessions, for those who are interested in that, there is actually the documents, guys, of this cover-up. Here we are. There is documents about this cover-up, and this is the book, volume 9 of my confessions. And of course, we talk about David Grusch, who was a whistleblower that last year came out with all these revelations. I think it's very important to understand that this week there was, though, a lot of talk about this specific conference. And look how they presented the conference to the world, just to give you an idea, Christy. Aliens, supernatural. I mean, this is very misleading. If you might really think that this press conference was discussing some incredible, see, Pope to Hope press conference on aliens and the supernatural, and people are all confused. Now, guys, first of all, it wasn't the Pope. It was the representative of the Pope that you saw, Cardinal Fernandez. There was an old nun there who was talking about stories of fake apparitions. And then there was some other priest, but there was no Pope to be seen in the room. And of course, the only correct thing they wrote was the last time that they discussed the supernatural phenomena was in February 1978. That's okay, fine. But what will tomorrow event mean for the Pope? Well, it means centralizing power. That's what it means, simply centralizing power. Well, not giving anymore the bishops the opportunity to say, oh, this is a genuine paranormal
Do you mean
apparition?
Like,
this is a genuine apparition of the Holy Mary. This is a genuine.
So, like,
if I come up with a stigmata tomorrow morning,
wait.
Only the Pope from tomorrow will be able
so
to.
So, when
say,
Jesus comes back, the Pope has to say it's Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, that's some baloney right there. He's gonna say a freaking alien is Jesus.
A demon. I mean,
that's the same thing.
Now, Padre Balducci was a guy I discussed in my books, as you know. He was a demonologist, an exorcist, and then he became a ufologist. I've always discussed very much of the late Father Balducci, who, by the way, was the uncle of my friend who used to work at the Apostolo di Roma Est. You remember Balducci?
Yes.
We used to go there sometimes and say hello because he was a former colleague of mine when we used to DJ together. In any case, the what we are trying to make you understand is that for a week, the alternative media talked about something that in the end was a big, it wasn't really a nothing burger because they discussed the paranormal. But
they discussed that they're not going to discuss.
Yes, and at the same time, they also said from now on, it becomes a private matter. So
doesn't
whatever.
That seem very fishy to everyone? I mean, all of a sudden, they're just closing themselves off. That's very, 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 very fishy.
It's very fishy, definitely. It's very weird. I believe that the only one who can drop some truth about this whole thing is my friend Jules Gomez, former church militant, doesn't exist anymore, but he's now working. We know what happened to them. It's a scandal. Let's not discuss it too much because.
You told me.
Yeah. So souls and liberty. Now, Rome drops supernatural label in rules for judging apparitions. Catholics do not have to believe in mystical phenomena since revelation is complete. Bishops will no longer have the authority to pronounce that a Marian apparition or other mystical phenomena that occurs in their diocese is supernatural. The Vatican declared this yesterday at this conference, and of course in the guidelines. Consequently, Catholics as Jews, and here I go back to quote my friend Jules Gomez, will not be required to believe in these phenomena, which sometimes were valued more than the gospel itself. And he's quoting here the Dicastery of the Doctrine of Faith that stressed in this press conference that they were laying down norms for discerning alleged supernatural phenomena. But the problem is, like Christy just said a moment ago, who are they to have this authorization?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
bunch of creeps and pedophiles is what they are.
The ones who are now going to be authorizing the future of miracles and possible saints or of the Catholic Church. I don't know, the miracles that can happen every day to all of us, of course, can be a private matter. But then there is miracles that have changed the life of many people.
Right.
Lourdes, for example, Fatima, other thing, very important. I mean, these are things that have changed the life of many people. So, Christy, would you like to read this part here?
This will allow bishops to draw pastoral benefit from the spiritual phenomenon without affirming with moral certainty.
So, stop. So here, guys, this is the trick. Now they can take money from the faithful saying, oh, well, yeah, it might be true, but without, though, affirming it with moral certainty and without formalizing it. So, you know, they can't be touched and say, oh, that bishop made up that apparition or
they're
approved.
They're just covering themselves, huh?
Approved the vision of this or this other person who is maybe challenging a demon rather than Jesus or the Holy Mary. But please.
That originates from a decision willed by God in a direct way, the new DDF announced. The
Nihil obstat, it's a Latin
phrase. Does not declare the events in question to be supernatural, the DDF explained, but it is offered as a help with which is proffered, but its use is not obligatory.
In a 14-page document released at the Friday press conference, the DDF noted that previous statements of bishops, which sometimes elevated the status of supernatural phenomena, conflicted with the Church's vision that the faithful did not have to accept the authenticity of these events. Please.
Even recently, some bishops have wanted to make statements such as, I can't see it when you do that.
Okay. Such I confirm absolute truth of the facts.
and the faithful must undoubtedly consider as true. The statement on the norms noted, explaining why the procedure was not only lengthy and cumbersome, but also caused considerable confusion.
Only in very exceptional cases, the Holy Father may intervene and declare the event to be supernatural, the norm stated. So only the Pope now can declare what is supernatural or what is not supernatural. I mean, this is the Jesuit takeover of the whole church. So you should have people should have probably expected something like this to happen, you know, because of course he wants to be in complete control of every single.
That's probably to announce the Antichrist.
But right? Also, let's for a moment make a hypothesis. A saint, Jesus, or a prophet, whatever, comes into the world, shows that he is actually capable of doing things that are quite miraculous or miracles. At that point, though, they can be simply rejected or put in the frame of something private rather than something godly and regarded of importance by the church. Because
but I don't
only
think
the
that
Pope...
it will matter to Jesus, because
no,
I don't
of course,
think
Jesus
cares, doesn't
need
so...
Jesus or anybody else who is truly spiritual doesn't care about the approval of the Pope
Jesus,
with
so...
his seal of approval. Who cares? I mean,
The devil can't mess anything up. God is in control of everything. So
absolutely, absolutely.
I'm not worried.
We are not worried.
I'm just waiting for God to annihilate the Vatican.
Well, yeah.
Blow it up in flames.
Blow up in flames. Okay, guys, let's have a laugh. Biden was raised by the Puerto Rico. Well, we already laughed a little bit because we laughed about the fact that all these people this week, the Vatican is about to reveal the ultimate thing, paranormal, the UFOs, what is the church about to do? And everybody was like, no? There was actually even an article on NBC.
I wasn't paying
this morning.
Attention. I was editing.
Yeah, you were too busy editing. But there was really a complete statue. I mean, even NBC here. Watch how they put the whole thing through regarding these new guidelines. Here we are: a statue weeping blood. Visions of the Virgin Mary, Vatican has new advice on supernatural phenomena. The document offers detailed instructions and 6 prudential conclusions for bishops who look into such claims. So this is what NBC said. Okay, but at this point, let's really laugh because we have a guy who is miraculously in the White House, is still alive.
Oh, no.
And he's called Joe Biden, who was miraculously, because it's a real miracle, he was raised by...
Is Donald Trump an intellectual?
Let's leave Donald out of it. Now, let's go to Biden, because he claims he was raised by the Puerto Ricans, the Greek, the Irish, the Catholic, the Jewish, the Italians. This guy is a miracle man. Joe Biden, 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 Biden.
I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community. I had a very close relationship with the Greek American community, for real. I am Joe Bidenopoulos.
I grew up in a heavily Irish Catholic community in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and a heavily Italian Polish community.
When I say I got raised in the black church, he knows I'm not kidding. The Persian culture is amazing. As a student of the Persian culture,
I probably went to shul more than many of you.
I come out of the black community.
The background of my family is Irish American, not fundamentally unlike the Palestinian people.
I raised in synagogues in my state.
Everyone in town was either Polish or Italian. I grew up feeling self-conscious. My name didn't end in an SKI.
I was raised in a neighborhood where I felt self-conscious. My name didn't end in O.
That's kind of how I was raised, like so many Americans of
Irish heritage.
In HBCU, in your home state, Mr. President.
Let me tell you, forget about it. That's right. That's where I got raised, man.
Just like rabbis, synagogues, and Jewish community centers in your hometown, and that's the tradition I got raised.
Hardworking people, the middle class, the neighborhoods I got raised in.
I was raised on GM.
I was raised by Danny Noe.
I was raised by a righteous Christian.
I got raised on automobiles.
Chocolate, chocolate chip.
Oh, yeah. They're really sharp.
He's such a dork.
Guys, this is, I mean, it's quite miraculous because, I mean, he was raised by all these communities together. I mean, the guy is. And then he has another clown that goes around the world representing him, Blinken, who went to Kiev to talk with Zelensky, of course, bringing him more weapons, more money. And now Zelensky wants manpower, by the way, just so you know. So he's coming for you next. That's the problem.
Whatever. He knows.
Okay. But Blinken, in the meantime, in the evening, went to a bar in Kiev and played Neil Young to... Okay, guys. How can you have a guy like this representing us? It's the president, the secretary of state.
He sucks. I can sing better than that.
Blinken, why don't you no, stick to your whatever role Joe is giving you? But this is really outrageous. I mean, he went on to sing Rocking in the Free World by Neil Young. It sucks. he really sucks, man.
He does.
Whatever, he's almost a worse singer and musician than he is a politician. Almost,
it's pretty close.
He sucks at both. Okay, guys, now, we are, of course, in the end times. And in the end times now, NBC is about to launch a documentary that the animal kingdom is queer. This is a queer planet. And it's just,
God, that's some
lions mounting on lions. Just check this out, guys.
Nazi really are everywhere.
Everything you were taught as a kid is wrong.
You make me wanna dance.
Gay penguins, bisexual lions, sex-changing clownfish.
This is a queer planet.
Queerness has always existed. It's only in humans that we have such a stigma about it.
The idea of just having two fixed sexes is clearly out of style.
Mother Nature is pretty open-minded. Sex is not just for reproduction.
It's clear that no matter where you look on our planet, nature is full of queer surprises.
To be honest, we should all probably get laid a little more than we do.
Who's gonna watch this? Apart from the fact that Peacock is the most suckiest channel on the streaming services worldwide. So who's gonna watch it? But I mean, come on, guys. I mean, just we're getting out of control here. I mean, lions mounting lion. I mean, that is just something that you shouldn't show. I mean, it's just, what do you think, Christine?
I don't think that's natural because we can't mate two male lions and make a female, or, you know, you can't make babies. So I don't want to comment.
Well, guys,
I just think it's just
guys.
Like
this was the week in which Zelensky also said that it's the world's fourth that Russia is gaining momentum.
package which we waited through 8 months.
Is what's happening now in Kharkiv, is this America's fault?
It's the fault of the world, that the world gave possibility to Putin to occupy it on the country. And
it's the fault of the world. I mean, guys, I hope that really, I don't want to say it.
Why do we still look at him? I hope when Trump becomes president, we this don't guy have to look is, at him
is basically going to have to run for his life when Trump becomes president, because nobody's going to give him any money. And he only survives by corrupting all his friends and corrupting himself also, because he's a corrupt individual who is continuously buying villas. And
he's just an end times character is what he is.
It's just despicable.
All these people are end times characters. The worst.
This
the worst.
Week, the meeting of this week, of course, and we close with this, was ended up with a double hug, Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin, the Sino-Russian World Order, which I announced in this book. And I remember Sean Stone, the son of Oliver Stone, who said, no, it's not true. No, it's not true, Sean. Well, I think Leo Zagami knows better. Yeah, he's ascending a bit too much. this is the Sino-Russian World Order. Yes, guys. And, of course, a double hug.
Ooh, that's so Masonic.
Yeah, it would have been triple in that case. Oh. But definitely, there was a lot going on this week with Putin in China for their tea together. Also, the ritual that is very important here. They love the tea ritual. They make it with a special kind of water. I tried
toilet?
No. It's water from a specific village in China, which actually makes you live longer, and it gives you a boost that is like, it's a natural boost. It feels much better than cocaine or any other drug. And it's incredible. And it costs like $2,000 a liter.
Where is this at? In Russia?
In China, but they bring it in Russia. And they make these tea rituals. I participated to one with Lazar and those people at the Bolshoi. Okay, guys, this was the Leo Zagami Show. I hope you enjoyed it. Christy, can we thank our sponsors once again, who made it possible? Please join them. And of course, if you want, there is also the Cash App option. You can find the handle at leozagami.com.
Okay. Bruce Kodish, Lauren DeHelmer, Farstarden, I can't read my own handwriting, Torkman, and Malgorzata Minta.
Next time I'm going to write it.
Farshadan, Torkman, I'm sorry. I just can't even read my own handwriting. Look the way I wrote this. I mean, it's just terrible. And I wrote it on a paper towel because I couldn't find any paper. And then I wrote it with a Sharpie that didn't have any ink in it.
Let's thank our sponsors then with a proper applause. Okay, with a proper applause. At least we gave them a nice applause before we leave. Thank you, guys, because you believe in us and you make possible this show.
Ready to dance.
I'm going to attempt. Bruce Kodish, Lauren DeHeimer, Farshiden Torkman, and Malgorzata Minta.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, guys. And of course, we always leave you with Rambo, who is sleeping there today.
I'm not bothering him.
We don't want to bother. So how they say, don't wake up the dog that is.
No, don't let sleeping dogs lie.
Let sleeping dogs. Yes. Okay. So here we are.
You ready, guys? Everybody dance. Everybody dance.
And remember that another way of supporting us is through the purchase of my books. And while we're waiting for volume 10, you can still purchase volume 7, 6, 0.66, 8, 9, and all the others.
And you might be seeing us again. Yes. You never know.
You never know. You never know. This week we might surprise you. Might surprise you.
Long time dead, so the devil with the devil says I. You're always giving me the dickens, telling me that life's no easy pickings. But just as long as I have fun, why the devil with the devil says I. You can have your social teas and bingo for your fun. But the things I like to do, you stop me one by one. Now even if you make me stronger, that ain't gonna make me. So even if I go to shh, the devil with the devil says I.
Look out for the devil, look out for the devil.
Oh, the devil with the devil says I.